Renewed tension between Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan. Both sides blame each other for the latest border flare-up. But what's caused this latest round of fighting, and is it likely to be resolved soon? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahlbarra. More fighting has taken place between Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan over border territory, a dispute that goes back to the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. Skirmishes that started a few days ago have killed and injured dozens of people, both landlocked nations accusing each other of breaking a recent ceasefire. Conflicts over the poorly demarcated border are frequent, and many are concerned there could be an all-out war. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called on all sides to de-escalate tension through dialogue. A large stretch of the border is unmarked, fueling disputes over water and land. Several rounds of talks over the years have failed. On Saturday, Kyrgyz President Sadat Japarov cut short his trip to Uzbekistan to hold an emergency meeting with the Kyrgyz Security Council.
There was a shootout at the border. We believe this is a provocation. The shooting was carried out by the armed forces and border guards of Tajikistan. Our border guards fought back.
The Tajik Interior Ministry has also claimed several civilians were killed in the fighting. And on Sunday, the Kremlin released this statement. Vladimir Putin called on the parties to prevent further escalation and take steps to resolve the situation as soon as possible by exclusively peaceful political and diplomatic means. More than a third of the length of the border between the former Soviet states is disputed. Tajik forces attacked the southern regional Kyrgyz capital, Baskan, on Friday and accused Kyrgyz forces of destroying a mosque and residential buildings. Kyrgyzstan says it evacuated more than 100,000 people from the area. A ceasefire was agreed on Saturday, but remains fragile. A dispute last year over a water reservoir led to intense fighting that killed dozens of people. Moscow has offered to mediate between the two countries. It has close ties with both Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan that host Russian military bases. Let's bring in our guest from Bishkek, Kadir Tuktuglov, former Kyrgyzstan ambassador to the US and Canada. From Mahashkala, Dagestan, is Sergei Markov, the director of the Institute of Political Studies in Moscow and a former member of the Russian parliament. From Prague, Bruce Panier is a journalist who specializes in Central Asia. Welcome to the program. Kadir, what has triggered the latest escalation on the border between Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan?
Well, definitely one of the main reasons is the unresolved border delimitation process. We still have to complete almost 50% of our border delimitation with Tajikistan. And this fighting that took place was the deadliest between Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, with military servicemen of Tajikistan going into the territory of Kyrgyzstan. And certainly, we have to keep in mind that Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan shared the border in the densely populated Fergana Valley, one of the most densely populated regions in the world, with scarce and disputed water resources. Mm-hmm. And there were attempts in the past by Tajikistan to take over key water distribution facilities. So there are a lot of issues that have to be worked out, but definitely this was the deadliest attack the deadliest conflict between the two neighbors, and Kyrgyzstan accuses Tajikistan of starting it first.
Okay, Sergei, people are concerned about an all-out military confrontation between the two countries. Both were former Soviet Union states. What can Russia do this time to de-escalate?
Russia already made de-escalation of the clashes between Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan in previous time. And Russia will try to give recommendations, strong recommendation to the leaders of both Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan to give the order to the military forces to step down. And in fact, this conflict is continuing quite a long time. It's a conflict because Varukh is enclave of Tajikistan on the Kyrgyzstan territory, which continue from already something about 70 years. In all these 70 years, these clashes continue. I would say after the collapse of Soviet Union, of course, these clashes became more with more violence. I would say that the norm, something like this. Every week, some tensions between Tajik and Kyrgyz in those region. Every month, some violence, clashes and beating between civilians there. Every year, some incident with weaponries between officials of Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan. And every 10 years, such clashes as we could see before. To stabilize this conflict, Russia created exact organization of the Treaty of the Collective Security, which helped in the previous time. Also, both countries, member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which in fact led by China and Russia. And now China also will join this activity of Russia to stabilize situation. And my prediction that situation will be stabilized in a few days.
All right. Bruce, before we get into the root causes of the conflict, if this is something that has the potential to evolve into an explosive scenario for both countries, don't you think that the most immediate thing the international community should be doing is demilitarized zone along with peacekeepers to be deployed in that particular disputed area?
Well, explosive situation to start with is kind of an interesting term because actually these, you know, they're at war. They have been at war with each other for the last few days. You know, artillery, tanks, helicopters, the whole thing. This happened again last year, too. The only two Central Asian countries that have gone to war with each other. So it's definitely an explosive situation and it's only getting worse. Now, as far as mediation or some efforts to try to help the two sides demobilize, and I like how you phrase that, because really that's the key here is demobilization. It's who exactly would you pick to do this? There's a lot of, you know, on either side, they have their own idea of who would be an honest broker, and the one country won't always agree with the other country that that's the case. There's been some not very successful efforts at trying to mediate conflicts in Central Asia before on the part of the UN, part of the OSCE. So, who exactly would you pick to mediate this peace? But I agree that demobilization and the reduction of forces and removal of heavy weaponry from the border area is key to even starting this process.
Qadir, those are largely going to be confidence-building measures now. When it comes to the border issue itself, this is something that dates back to many, many, many years ago. Now, some say that the best possible scenario would be for both countries to agree on splitting the disputed area into half. And then they would say, let's demarcate the border area, turn the chapter, move forward. Does it make sense to the Kyrgyz government?
Well, if you look at the area which was affected by the latest deadly clashes, and you would see that the border actually goes and cuts through some villages and through densely populated areas. So it has been one of the reasons why the whole delimitation process has been going slowly is because there has been little compromise or common ground in the past. As to how that delimitation should go and who would cede territory and then gain territory elsewhere. So the confidence building measures should be taking place, and both countries have been working on that. But The biggest, I would like to address previous speakers' comments. The failure of the two organizations, of which both Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan are members of, to actually provide enough mechanisms and confidence-building measures so that such deadly attacks and conflicts do not take place. It's pretty disappointing. I mean, you have Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan as members of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, but still they go at each other. And we do have to make sure that countries actually find compromise and find common ground so that this delimitation process is completed and concluded as soon as possible. Otherwise, such conflicts will probably repeat in the future.
Sergei, when it comes to the Russian leverage here, as you know, the whole border dispute is about the demarcation of 1920s under Joseph Stalin. But when it comes to the practicalities of it, each has its own interpretation. The Kyrgyz rely on a certain maps. The Tajiks have their own maps. What do you think should Russia do in practical terms to address the issue of the of that particular disputed area?
I think Russia, first of all, need to have some kind of psychological negotiation with both leaders, because it's not only specific problems on the ground, but also it's problems of the conflict of psychologists, leadership, and so on. And so to have quiet negotiation with both leaders, with respect to them, it's an important part of those negotiations. Also, I want to discuss with both the moderator and our Kyrgyz friends, is these problems come not from the 20s of Joseph Stalin. It's come from the 50s when the water channel had been created. And also, it's impossible, I think, to have delimitation of the border there, because delimitation it almost happened. But situation there, because it's enclave in Varukh, it's made situation very complicated. For example, last military clashes happened because one woman, I don't remember that it was Tajik or Kyrgyz woman, but she constructed just the fence on the territory, which is prohibited to have any economic activity. Mm-hmm. So a delimitation, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It should be some kind of joint, maybe, management of those area. And also, this conflict come because Kyrgyz leaders suggested to Tajikistan a few months ago some kind of final solution of those conflicts by exchanging of the territories. But Tajik leaders was fully disagree with this suggestion, and they offended this style of Kyrgyzstan suggestion. So it's also conflict of psychologists. It's one of the important directions which Russia has to pay attention to, but also to create maybe the committee with China, with Russians and Chinese, mm-hmm. who will help to both sides to resolve many very small, almost individual conflicts on the grounds, which happen in those area almost every day.
All right, Bruce. Both countries have their own commissions regarding the borders. Both countries have their own interpretations. Both countries say that we have the Almaty Convention of 1991, we have the Moscow Convention of 1994. Are we talking just about an issue of delimitation, or is this something far bigger about resources, about the need for both local communities to move back and forth to different areas to be able to survive?
Exactly. It's strange and kind of cruel in a way that when you're in, I've been to this region several times, And you can see the snow-capped mountains around you, and you know there's a lot of water up there in the mountains, but there isn't a lot of water in this area where the border keeps zigzagging in and out. So, agricultural land is limited, both in terms of farming and in terms of herding. And, of course, you know, it's herding, really, where you have to move your animals from place to place so that they can graze. So, you know, these are really, I mean, this is the core importance for these people out there. These things have to be there. They have to have water for their crops. They have to have grazing land for their animals, or they themselves, or the people themselves will die. So, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to guard that or figure out a way that you can find a compromise for that, because people are naturally going to let their animals eat grass where there's grass. Maybe that's disputed ground. I don't know. Maybe they can let them go onto the territory of the adjacent state while no one's looking. Maybe they think they can divert water toward their own field when no one's looking. So it's certainly primary importance. It's an agriculturally based community on either side of the border.
Qadir, when you look at the case of Kyrgyzstan, for example, you have the nomads who say that the border delimitation was never fair, and therefore the local communities suffered a lot, that it's absolutely their legitimate right to cross into areas inside Tajikistan to be able to look after their livestock. At the same time, they say there's another issue, which is the water channels. We don't really feel like it's evenly distributed between both countries. From a Kyrgyz perspective, if this is about those particular issues, don't you see that the top issue here is the need for both Dushanbe and Bishkek to come together, set aside those differences, and move forward about a new plan?
Well, definitely Bishkek and Dushanbe, have to get together and find common solution that will actually work for both sides. But, any kind of solution will require compromise on both sides. And one thing that we have to keep in mind is that we actually have two different kinds of government in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan. Kyrgyzstan, it's a government that was popularly elected. We have a pretty outspoken, vocal parliament. We have, senior officials that are actually in charge and are competent and or are authorized to make decisions. While on the Tajik side, you have pretty top-down decision-making, where probably there's only one man that makes all the decisions, including as to when the fighting on the border must stop. You look at the meeting between the two presidents of Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan in Samarkand. They agreed that there would be ceasefire, that military border guards will actually pull back from the borders, but that didn't take place on the Tajik side for sure. So we actually are dealing, we are looking at the situation of a more democratic country trying to find common ground on the border issues with, an autocratic, authoritarian country. So it is a bit, I think, challenging, definitely, in this situation for both governments, just because of different natures of them and different accountability and lack of transparency. For example, on the Tajik side, we still haven't seen clear figures as to how many, on their casualties and what is really happening on their side, while we see everything that is actually has been taking place on the Kyrgyz side, including number of people evacuated, number of people that were killed, and people that were injured. So, those differences that I think a bit difficult to overcome. But yes, Kyrgyz side definitely,
need to come together. Sergey, I've asked you about what can Russia do. Don't you think that the Chinese could potentially play a significant role, given the fact that they have managed to expand somehow their political and economic influence in Central Asia?
I think China has a lot of economic influence in those regions. Probably economic influence of China even more than Russian influence now. Of course, both Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan sent millions of their citizens to Russia to work in the Russian economy. It's an important factor, but China want to play economic role, but don't want to play political role. China keeping low profile, it don't want to be too much involved, especially now. If you may remember, know that in China will have this November very important Congress meeting of the Communist Party, which should in fact change political system which China had in previous 40 years. And this Congress will be very, very politically important for China. That's why China, especially this period, try to keep a low profile. Also, I should add, this conflict between Kyrgyz and Tajiks also has some characteristics that Tajiks belong to the great Persian culture, and Kyrgyz belong to the great Turk culture. And we know that the clashes in different areas, because the Persian-speaking and Turk-speaking people continue many centuries. And it will continue, I think, it will not stop. We couldn't pretend that we will stop those conflicts, which continue a few centuries. But what we can do for sure, not maybe to have final resolution, but to have, as I mentioned, first of all, to stop firing, and secondly, to create some kind of committee with possibly Russia, and we hope that with some Chinese participation, and this commission can help to resolve very specific, almost individual conflicts between also conflict between small businesses, which happen in those area almost every day.
Bruce, I'm trying to draw some similarities with different conflicts, and I'm thinking of Sub-Saharan Africa and the Sahel region, where you have these conflicts between the nomadic tribes and the farmers over pastoral lands and resources of water. Now, oftentimes the UN and other international agencies try to step in to help, but ultimately the problem was not necessarily the fight between the two over land, it was climate change. Do you see same thing here applying to both Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan?
Well, certainly climate change is having a very negative effect on this area and more generally across Central Asia. So, yes, I would say that's certainly one of the factors. I think that you can't forget about the fact that this conflict has been building, certainly for, we already heard, it's been 70 years at least in where this has flared up. But it, certainly in the last 15 years, because they're independent states now, it has been growing in intensity. So even before climate change was a big issue, there was already the kettle was already boiling, so to speak. I can't ascribe it purely to climate change. Mm-hmm. Climate change complicates the situation that was already developing in that region, though.
Okay, Qadir, Kyrgyzstan has been of the view that it's they're fine with the idea of drawing a line of the state border by the actual use following the agreements that were signed in 1991 and 1994, something which has been rejected all the time by Tajikistan, saying that, no, the other option would be to delimit the disputed territories in half. You have your own agrarian reforms, more liberal than the ones in Tajikistan. However, you do understand that by the Tajik laws, there's absolutely no way foreign nationals, particularly the Kyrgyz, can move forward to acquire, use, manage the land on the other side of the border. Ultimately, we're talking about an almost impossible scenario.
Well, Kyrgyzstan is not interested in taking somebody's land. We just want a fair, which is also a historically fair, border deal. And certainly, the two governments have to intensify those discussions and finalize them. We saw that it is possible to achieve such results. Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan, for example, when the new president Mirziyoyev came into power, the two countries moved very, very fast to actually finalize the border delimitation and demarcation process between the two countries within very short period of time. It was pretty record pace, I believe. And we were hoping that this result would encourage such a process with Tajikistan, but that hasn't happened. And we believe that the problem is actually with the top leadership of Tajikistan not willing to make compromises.
Well, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. In the meantime, Kadir Tokhtulov, Sergei Markov and Bruce Pani, I really appreciate your insight. Thank you. Looking forward to talking to you in the near future. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJ Insight Story. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJ Insight Story. From me, Hashim Al-Bara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.